Leading up to Christmas here at New Life this year, we've done something a little bit different. We spent the last couple of months looking at the 5th century BC story of Esther. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Esther, if you know the story a little bit or if you know it a lot. Esther is the young woman whom God raised up along with her older cousin Mordecai to save God's people from being annihilated by their enemies. Their enemies when Persia was in power. It's a fascinating story. It's a story that, again, goes all the way back to the 5th century B.C. Even though you find it more in the middle of the Old Testament, it's really dated near the end of the Old Testament. And there's a lot of things that stand out from the story of Esther. If you may be like me, if you have children who grew up with VeggieTales, your story of Esther maybe has been corrupted a little bit by some of the things that are found in that recounting. And yet, I know the story of Esther very well from watching VeggieTales over and over and over again. But when you think about the things that stand out from the story of Esther, I wonder if you've ever thought what may be the most important thing. The most important thing is probably God's faithfulness to His covenant promises. His faithfulness to His covenant promises. The promises He made all the way back to His people through their forefather Abraham, when He promised to Abraham to make out of them a great nation and to make them a blessing to others. You remember what God said to Abraham, if you're familiar with that? He said to them, I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. But how God would bless all the families of the earth ultimately through Abraham's line would ultimately be through the birth of a Savior that would come from his seed. Obviously, for that to happen, Abraham's line had to remain intact. And so when you look at the story of Esther, when everything seemed to be hopeless, we saw that behind the scenes, God was at work to raise up just who His people needed to be saved. Obscure Esther, she becomes queen. She's able to speak to the king on behalf of her people. Faithful Mordecai, he's exonerated after being falsely accused, and he's made the king's right-hand man. He's able to write a new decree to protect the life of God's people. A decree that, interestingly, was urgently sent out to every province of the kingdom. And the book of Esther ends very interestingly. It ends with God's people celebrating the relief they received from their enemies with what they called the Feast of Purim, which celebrated what they called that the pure, or better known to us, or translated to us, the lot. You know, you throw the dice to see your lot, to see what your fortune would be. That the lot is actually controlled by the God of Israel, and not by His people's enemies and their false gods. Esther's cousin Mordecai, in the last verse of the book, is said to have become very popular and great among the Jews. Because of this reason, because he sought the welfare of the people and spoke peace to them. So what does the story of Esther have to do with Christmas? But do you realize that if God had not raised up Esther and Mordecai, there would have been no birth of Jesus. There would have been no Christmas. The Jewish nation, and therefore the people of God, would have been annihilated. God's promise of redemption would have been thwarted. But when you go back to the book of Esther, what do you find? You find Mordecai, in particular, was a type of Christ or Savior. He foreshadowed the Christ to come. And through the work of Esther and Mordecai and God working through them, the people of God were encouraged to trust in God's promises despite their circumstances and the outward appearance of things and who seemed to be in control of the world and of world affairs. If you think about that, and then fast forward 500 years to the birth of Jesus, what do we find? We find that a new and an even better decree of salvation, and therefore of joy, was being sent out. This decree was sent out when another power was ruling over the world, the Romans. And in fact, their rule and their power was even greater than the Persians. Caesar Augustus not only held the position of king, but he actually claimed to be a god and sought for people to worship him. Yet in the midst of him seeming to exercise his power and have all the world registered so that he could tax and control them, did you notice from the story what was happening? God was causing a child to be born in an obscure town. In fulfillment, though, of the promises he had made to his people through the prophets. And of course, this child was none other than the long-promised Savior, whom the angel had previously told Mary that we read in the call to worship would be the Son of the Most High. He would be Christ the Lord. He would be the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. All that's understanding under the term Christ, this title. He would come and be the Christ who is the Lord, whose kingdom would have no end. And interestingly, the ones who were sent to proclaim the good news of his birth and to spread it rapidly and quickly were angels. Were angels who were sent from heaven above. They were sent to proclaim a much greater salvation, a salvation that would cause a great joy, not just among the Jews, but was a message of great joy and of great salvation to all people. Because it was the good news of a salvation from being at war with God, from the death decree that is on the head of every human being because of their sin. It was the good news of peace between God and man and those with whom he is well pleased. And of course, amazingly, this decree of salvation and peace with God through the birth of the Savior was first given to who of all people? It was given to shepherds. People speculated, why shepherds? Well, maybe it was because of them being so lowly and because of their state in life. I don't know if you know about shepherds in that time period in history, but because they kept and took care of animals and many times, sometimes unclean animals, they were considered ceremonial and pure. They weren't allowed to come to the temple and enter into worship like everyone else. Because they moved around a lot, many were thought to be thieves. They were thought to be unreliable. In fact, their testimony was not allowed to be given in court. And yet it's to shepherds that the angels first gave their message. You ever wondered why? Maybe it's because they represented us well. Maybe because they knew what it was to take care of stinky, smelly sheep who are prone to wander and run away. And yet, interestingly, it was sent to shepherds, and Jesus was sent to shepherd us. And of course, God is the, out of Psalm 23, is the good shepherd. And so, interestingly, all this happens. And of course, the message comes to them. And they're humble enough to receive it. They're prepared to hear it. This evening, as you've heard the Christmas story told and read again for you from the Gospel of Luke, I wonder if you're humble enough to receive it. To receive it for what it truly is. It's good news of salvation from war with God and the just penalty of our sin, which is eternal death. We think things were bad in the day of Esther, when Haman was doing his best to do away with Mordecai and Esther and the Jews. Think about the situation of all humanity. Because sin has entered the world. Because we have committed sin. Because we have separated from God. Interestingly, as you look at the shepherds received the message. They received the good news by doing several things. Things that you're probably very familiar with because you've heard the story maybe Christmas after Christmas. But notice again what they did. The shepherds first received it by going to Bethlehem and seeing about these things that had happened, that the Lord had made known to them. And it says they saw it with haste. They went with haste to see for themselves the significance of the birth of this baby in Bethlehem. And of course they found it just as the angels had told them. And what I think is significant about this for us is the same thing applies to us. If we will diligently, if we will with haste seek the Lord, seek to test, as it were, the message that we have within the entirety of the Scriptures that all point to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll find the same thing. We'll find that it is really just as the angels had told them, and just as the Scriptures tell us, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus has come to bring peace between God and man. We see something else about the shepherds. Once the shepherds saw it, they didn't keep it to themselves. Of course, they told others everything that they had seen and were told. They began to spread the news. And of course, that makes sense. If you went out today out into the fields and all of a sudden angels came to you and shouted to you and this wonderful good news, and you went and tested it and saw the baby Jesus, and you'd be telling others too, right? Because you couldn't keep it to yourself. It's interesting when you think about this, it doesn't end with that little... We're also told that their telling and their being filled with wonder caused Mary to ponder these things in her heart and to treasure them up in her heart. Which is an interesting thing to consider. Pondering, meditating, treasuring. You think she's doing exactly what the shepherds were doing. Surely they pondered for a long time, the rest of their life, the significance of that night and how God spoke to them through the angels. And surely also they treasured it up. You know what it is to treasure something up? You treasure it, you hang on to it, you hold on to it. You keep going back to it because it's that special to you. And because it's special, you keep telling others about it. Do you have family stories like our family has stories? We keep telling them over and over again. We just had a vacation, and what do we tell? Stories we've heard a lot of times. But why? Because we've treasured them up. They're so special to us. That's what the shepherds did. That's what Mary did, because they received the good news. They saw it for what it is. And of course, finally, we see that the shepherds returned home glorifying God and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. They continue to praise and worship and glorify and exalt the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I wonder this evening, as we're gathered for this service, if you've experienced that salvation. If you know this good news for yourself personally, that you know what it is to be saved from your sin, from the penalty of your sin. Well, there's one way to really know. One way to know is, do you respond like the shepherds? Have you responded in any way like them? So you sought for yourself to see, is this really what's happening here? Is this thing really true that the Bible tells us about this baby Jesus and being the Savior? Have you come to know that in your heart, and you've come to treasure Him in your heart as your Lord and Savior? And do you naturally want to glorify and exalt and worship Him? That's what the shepherds did. That's what we should naturally do, and I hope that you're here tonight for that. And if you haven't, if you didn't come here tonight for that, I hope now that you've heard the story, that's what you want to do now. That you want to know more. That you want to tell others more. That you want to treasure up more of who Jesus Christ is. Because this is great news. The news in Esther's day was great news. It was really good news. They're on the verge of being annihilated and being wiped out. This is great news, and even greater news, because Jesus came to save us from eternal death, from being separated from God forever. He came to overcome all of that for us. And so what a wonderful privilege it is tonight to be here and to celebrate this, to sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Let's ask for His blessing as we pray together. Lord, we do rejoice in You and in Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We rejoice, O Lord, that Your Son came and was born, and that You sent angels to declare the good news, that You told, dear Lord, the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Lord, I pray this evening that You would cause and help us, Lord, to recognize this news for the great news that it is. I pray, Lord, that You would fill our hearts with joy in believing, that You'd fill our hearts with astonishment and wonder, that we would continue, Lord, to ponder what it is that You have done in sending Your Son to be our Savior, what it is that You've overcome for us. And I pray, Lord, that You would help each of us as individuals and those gathered here as families, and that, Lord, as we continue our Christmas celebration, that, Lord, we would be glorifying and exalting You, that we would, yes, rejoice in each other, in the good gifts that we give to one another, but ultimately we would rejoice in You, Lord Jesus, as the greatest of gifts. Thank You, Lord, for Your saving work. Thank You for humbling Yourself and being born as a human being and being born in a manger. Thank You for overcoming everything for us. We praise and exalt You, and we do pray in Your great name. Amen.